Fairhope Mayor.
I'm News 5 meteorologist
Sherry Sullivan. And good morning, Mayor. Thanks for your time as usual today.
Good morning, Lori.
I'm having computer issues. Thank you for the agenda. But would you like to tell folks about the state of the city first? I just heard a little commercial about it, but I know you can give more personal information.
I would love to. So the state of the city is this Thursday, and it is from 5 to 7 at the Fairhope Civic Center. This gives every department a chance to set up an informational booth that people can visit and ask questions of, whether it's the planning staff or utility or financials, the city clerk's office, whatever that may be. And we also serve hot dogs for a dinner, and then I will give a brief presentation on what we've done in 2022, what we're looking forward to in 23, and go over some of the budget numbers.
And I understand the departments, this gets kind of fun and competitive. Everybody wants to outdo the other with the coolest booth. So this is actually something the kids would enjoy too.
Oh, absolutely. They have some interactive stuff. There's mm-hmm. some giveaways. So yes, it's something the kids will enjoy and something just for the whole family.
Very good. The State of the City Expo tomorrow, Thursday night from 5 until 7. And it's a drop-in, but if they want to hear your address, that's at 5:30?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we will be recording that, Lori, so people who cannot come, if you want to listen to that, the presentation, the PowerPoint will be online, and also the recorded video will
good.
Be online.
Very good. I like that, because folks can watch all of the meetings, including last night's Fairhope City Council meeting, online, either live or later. And I didn't get to watch last night, so thank you for filling us in.
You're welcome.
You had a report of the mayor. Tell us about that.
I did. So we had Girl Scout Troop 8017 there last night earning their civics badge, and they were also asking permission to sell Girl Scout cookies in downtown. So that was really fun to have them there. They're really active in the community. They've planted a tree there at Knoll Park, and you know, just out selling cookies and stuff. So they're always looking for community projects. Just a fun little group. Also talked about State of the City, let people know about that. We also talked about, before we meet again, there's the Pirate Dash and Champagne and Chocolate for the library. So Champagne and Chocolate is a fundraiser that the library is doing to help build out that second floor.
That's February 4th. I don't know about the Pirate Dash.
The Pirate Dash is a project of the PTCs of the elementary schools, the K-6, and it is also February 4th, and it is it's a run that starts right there at Bayview and Magnolia. So you know, again, just something that the whole community comes out for, a lot of families. So just wanted to make sure everybody knew about those two events.
Okay, very good. Last night there were public hearings on two developments, neither of them new, just some amendments to one known as the Fly Creek PUD, which is 11 acres of townhomes there behind Publix on 98, next to what was then, we used to call the Fly Creek Apartments.
Correct.
How did that go, and was there any discussion?
There was some, you know, discussion. Obviously, Hunter got up and gave a brief, you know, introduction to the project. I think the only thing really that's changing with this is that there was a vacant piece of property that was going to be for commercial development. But, you know, when you drive into Publix on that drive, that commercial strip right there, not even all of those are filled. So they didn't want to do any more commercial buildings without those even being filled. So they asked to do townhomes in that area. It's a small square piece that right as you enter to the right.
So how many townhomes will this development have?
To be honest, I don't have that on my notes, Lori.
Okay.
But it's the PUD really has not changed that much. It's still the original PUD. The biggest change is going to be that where it's supposed to be commercial, it's going to be townhomes.
Okay.
And it's more of a live work space. So there was a lot of discussion about that last night. So live work is where maybe it might be a two-story building, and you might have your office downstairs, then you walk upstairs, and that's your livable space. So it's not really multi-use, but they call it live work.
That's interesting. And did anyone speak up against it?
They did not.
Okay. And the next one was a public hearing for the Idlewild PUD. This is out on the west side of 181 and just south of Fairhope Avenue, where there's a Hampton Inn. And what else is going to be included in that, about 10 acres?
Right. So that is, it does include a hotel and some retail space, some, again, multi-use, some you know, living space as well as retail space in that area. I think that there was really no opposition to it. It was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission. I think the biggest thing for that project was the connectivity. There was some concerns from Idlewild residents, and they did get some letters from Idlewild residents not really wanting a through street there to their neighborhood,
right,
because
so
of the hotel.
Right.
So, but there will be some pedestrian connectivity or for some low-speed vehicles or golf carts. But other than that, I mean, it again passed, and there was no opposition. Nobody spoke out against it.
That's good. Okay. And then the boutique hotel downtown, the Fairhope Hotel, which is to be located at Section and Oak. There was a site plan review and approval. Did that get approved?
It did get approved.
Okay.
It did.
That's the 14-room.
Mm-hmm. It is. Boutique
and
hotel.
They are providing, what, 6 parking spaces, even though technically being in the downtown district, they don't have to.
No, there are 6 parking spaces on site, if I remember correctly, and 11 parallel parking spaces that are their frontage. You know, they're on the street that they're able to use. So really, they're only, you know, they're not losing. They're one shy of what? 14,
yeah,
basically.
Right.
So they have 13 spaces, either the parallel that are right there on street or the 6 that are on property.
That they're providing,
right.
Yeah. Okay, so.
And you would think people would come in couples. They may not, you know, but you would think that.
I guess the point is, you see a lot of complaining about the parking when technically it's really not going to make that much of an impact.
I don't think so. And again, I mean, you know, we don't want people to get in the habit of saying, oh, park there at the Civic Center. But again, on that side of town, you know, if the Art Center needs overflow or those restaurants that are right there, I mean, a lot of people do use the Civic Center when it's not leased or whatever. So there is a large parking area there that people can take advantage of.
Number 8 is a big number that Jay Robinson and I talked about yesterday, and this was $2.5 million for a Founders Park athletic track and parking. And he mentioned that it was budgeted previously, but about $1 million less. Tell
right.
us about that.
So, yes, this project was tabled last night. And one thing I do want to make clear is that, you know, all the company that won the bid, you know, all the bid specs were met. It's a great project. This is something that we have talked about for about a year or so, building a track there at Founders. But there's a lot of site work. So there's almost $1 million worth of site work that goes along with this project. So it's not only just building the track. The track itself is $1 million, and then the site work that has to be done, the parking lots, the utilities. You know, we were going to repave the parking lot at the top because it's in disrepair right now. It needs to be repaved. So we were going to pave that. So this was part of a bigger project. But it was in the budget for $1.2 million, and that is completely my mistake, which I said last night. I was under the impression that the $1.2 million that was in the budget did not include the $250,000 that we had secured from the school board and $400,000 from Fairhope single tax. I thought it was $1.2
plus
those donations.
Okay.
So that would have been $1.8, and we thought the estimate was going to be close to maybe $2.2 when all was said and done.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we had a much higher number in the budget, but unfortunately, the $1.2, the donations had already been taken out of that amount, so it looked like a much bigger number. I have talked with the treasurer. She, you know, thinks that we will not have a problem finding this money. We have some surplus in general fund that we could use towards this project. It's just the council has to decide, is this project worth this amount? We did have some of the track coaches get up and speak last night. There's more than 300 kids participating in track. We continue to send kids to college on track scholarships. We've never had a regulation track that they can use for meets. Right now, there's only 2 tracks in the county that can be used for high school athletic association meets, and that's Bay Minette and Gulf Shores. And Gulf Shores is no longer part of the Baldwin County system. So, and granted, this is not a school track. It will be owned by the city.
Schools can use it,
and the school system
was going to help pay for it.
$250,000.
And like Jay and I mentioned, facilities like this can be provide an economic impact as far as for the tournaments.
They
folks
can.
Coming in to stay, they eat, they spend money, they stay in the hotels.
Correct. And the other thing is, it's you know, there's a multi-use field in the center of it, so it can be used for youth football. It can be used for, you know, whatever, soccer, whatever would need to practice there or use that field. So there, you know, hopefully they'll come back, they'll talk about it, we'll get together as a group with the treasurer, and, you know, she can make them feel comfortable about the money part of it, and hopefully we'll move forward.
Okay. But good that it was tabled. Well, I appreciate y'all being responsible.
A lot of conversation.
Stewards of our money, because that is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
After that, we had a bid for a new Chevy Silverado crew cab. What department is that for?
That is for the gas department, and that's actually a welding truck with the welding body.
Okay.
So it's actually a really good price. It came in $7,000 under budget, so they were really excited with that price and being able to save that $7,000.
Fairhope Public School Commission, new appointees.
Yes. New appointees to the school commission and also to the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board. And while we're talking about that, just remind people, if they are interested in serving on one of the city's boards, there is an application online under the city clerk's office that you can go to, and it's a board appointment form. You just fill that out, tell us which board you're interested in serving on, and we keep that on file. And when there's an opening, we will, you know, consider your request.
Okay. Also, we've got an update on the Volanta Park and all of the updates that are happening there.
Yes, there's a lot going on there. I'm sure everybody who's driven by on 98 has seen that. We are building four new youth baseball fields there. Also, the lights are up. There's a new restroom facility. Water and sewer's been out there, relocating some of the sewer lines. Electrical's out there. We're also adding, this week, I think, or next week, we'll be adding LED lights to the high school baseball field. So there's a lot going on up there. Our hope is to have those fields complete by the end of February so they can use them for the spring season. They did approve last night the sod for those fields, which was about $44,000. So
that's what I was looking for.
The backstops and the sod should probably be in next week, and the backstops will start install this week.
And then last week, well, in a December meeting, the fencing was approved.
Yes.
At $75,000. What is this Volanta Park total?
It's right
cost?
At $1 million.
Okay.
Right at $1 million for those four fields.
And the additional parking?
Right, and the additional
fencing,
parking.
All of it?
That paving that you saw, though, that was a big number also. I want to say it was probably right at $400,000, maybe even a little bit more.
Yes.
That includes resurfacing the parking lot there outside of the youth baseball fields on the other side by the dog park,
mm-hmm.
because there is that parking area is not in good shape. It needs to be restriped. It needs to be resurfaced. So it includes that. It includes adding some handicapped spots there adjacent to the Fairhope High School field, because that's all gravel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to be accessible, we need that to be paved. So there's a few paved spots there for accessibility. It also will create a road that'll run behind the back of the football stadium, in between the football stadium and the rec center.
Mm-hmm.
So you can access those new fields and then create a road down to those parking areas back behind the high school football concession stand.
All that is needed
for just connectivity and to make it easier to navigate, so
easier to walk. It's safer.
And it'll be a great walking path for people who live in that area, but it is much needed, and this is a good project, and hopefully, you know, people, it's something that people will really be excited about. I know everybody's anxious to get those fields open.
Yeah, well, you know, we were in that exact location for the high school Hall of Fame, the athletic Hall of Fame that my son was in, and walking down there with my 86-year-old aunt was very precarious. So I can envision what you're talking about, and it seems like it would be a great addition for everybody. I see now the backside of the page, so let me return to a couple of other items that I was looking for. Let's talk about the... Here it is, number 15. An agreement between the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency and the City of Fairhope Police Department to establish a joint multi-agency working group known as the Alabama Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force.
Right.
Is this something they're going to all municipalities, police departments, to try to do a statewide?
They are. And this will allow one of our investigators to be trained through ALEA as part of that, as part of the Internet Crimes Against Children. So we'll have an investigator who will be have access to all that training. So if we have a case here that they need to work, we won't have to depend on ALEA for that expertise. We will have somebody already trained.
Do we? I don't see anything of that sort mentioned when the police chief gives their stats for the month. And when I interview her the second Wednesday, I will certainly ask. But are you aware of, is there a need for that here?
Absolutely. I think that you always have to be diligent about that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I wouldn't want to speak for the police chief, but I do think that we've had a couple cases here locally with people who have been, there's been internet predators when kids get on these, you know, apps like Snapchat and different things. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, as a law enforcement agency and as a municipality and certainly as parents, we all have to be diligent when it comes to our kids and social media and you know, the people who want to prey on them.
Number 18, to implement an effective safety program for all employees and appoint Donnie Grice as safety coordinator. I know some years ago, the safety was really stepped up. Yes. and a new plan was put in place. What is happening with this additionally?
So this is kind of after the fact. We've had a safety coordinator. We've had a safety program. I'm really proud of the program that we have. I mean, last year, you know, we gave some numbers during State of the City where we had saved almost $300,000 in workman's comp just by an effective safety program. But we are switching our workman's comp. So we're going to be going with the Municipal Workers' Compensation Fund, which is actually number 17. Uh-huh. So we had to do a resolution for that. And then as part of that resolution, the council has to endorse the fact that we do have a safety program and a safety coordinator.
I see. Okay.
So that's just kind of housekeeping for us switching workman's comp carriers.
All right. I see sidewalks on Blue Island and Fairwood Boulevard for $82,900. That's number 14.
Right. That is a TAP grant. That's something that people probably heard about for a long time. I think this was the third time we had applied for those sidewalks, and they were approved this year.
Good.
So by ALDOT. So we will add those sidewalks in the median there on Fairwood from Fairhope Avenue, you know, all the way to, I guess,
Lovely. I see what you're talking about.
Right.
In the median.
All the way, all the way in the median. But I don't think it goes all the way. It goes to Fairwood. So okay. It would go from Fairhope Avenue all the way to Fairwood on,
Blue Island.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there. So we will add those sidewalks, and the $82,000 is not covered in that grant, so that's pre-engineering and design, so that's something the city is covering.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention that I have not thought to ask on here?
I don't think so, Lori. We did talk about, in the work session, talked about some repairs that were needed at the Haven. You'll see that come back to the council. That building needs some work done to it, so we're going to spend about $100,000 kind of repairing that building. The facade is that old stucco and really needs to be refurbished altogether, so we're going to do kind of a renovation of the front part of that building,
okay.
Do some upgrades on the windows and the doors, that kind of stuff. So we discussed that in the work session last night.
Anything else in the work session you want to bring up?
We also met Garver. They're an engineering firm, was there to talk about the headworks of the wastewater treatment plant. Probably not something anybody wants to talk about first thing in the morning, because it is the pictures and all were not very inviting. But a great project and something we need to do. A lot of it is about just how you treat your waste coming in, the screening process, removing all the grease, grit, everything from that from what comes into the treatment plant, and making sure that you're, you know, being good stewards of our environment as far as odor and different things. So we had a big report on that last night, and we'll see that come back before us. That's about a $5 million project to redo those headworks. So
now, I was asking Jay, and this was before his time, but you would have been with the city then. Was it 10, maybe 8 years ago? Wasn't there a $12
million 2014, 15.
Upgrade to this our wastewater treatment plant?
There was. I think
that's a lot of money, but now we need $5 million more.
So the headworks has a 10-year basically life expectancy. The headworks is mechanical. It's constantly running because it's what's screening. There's screens that provide that filtering of the waste that comes in. And we really don't have a redundant system. Like, we have one screen that filters all that.
So it's time for replacement.
Okay. And when that goes down, they literally have to hand rake everything. So we really need a redundant system, and this would help provide that. They did say that we could reuse what we have as part of that redundancy. Like, we could use that and then add a new one. So if this one had to go down for some reason,
you'd have a backup.
Right. And the other thing is, when we have parts and pieces that we need to order, if something goes down, it takes a while to get that. And so, again, we really need that redundant system.
Thank you. You explained that where I could completely get the visual and understand it.
I hope so.
Good job.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, so we'll just remind everybody, we'll see them at the State of the City Thursday night.
That's right. And if you can't be there, we're going to record it.
5 o'clock at the Fairhope Civic Center. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you, Lori.
We appreciate what you do. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month.